There are things that help us behave and help people know that we're people that behave. And the beard sometimes does that as well. So socially, it's sometimes better for a person to grow a beard. I know there are people who travel a lot in business, and for them, many rabbis will recommend that they wear a wedding ring, even though ordinarily we don't recommend men wear rings, and it is halachically forbidden for there to be an exchange of rings during a marriage ceremony. But for a man to wear a ring, so then in business, very often if you show up to a hotel alone without a wedding ring, so they automatically offer you certain services. And if you show up with a wedding ring, they understand that you don't want those services. And that's why sometimes it's very recommended that a person who's in business and he's traveling should wear a wedding ring. By the same token, the beard socially sometimes can help that people recognize this person either as a rabbi, this person is a Jew, in different scenarios. So the question was asked, why would a husband want to wear a wedding ring? Isn't he always going to be faithful? So first of all, the answer is, husband will always be faithful. Husband better always be faithful. But we have to be practical. Every morning we say in our prayer, after the blessings and the Vihi Ratzon, we say, Yihi Ratzon Efnecha Hashem Lokei Avosai, may it be the will of you, Hashem, Shetatzileni Hayom Uvchol Yom, you should rescue me, Me'azei Panim U'Me'azus Panim, from people who are brazen and from myself being brazen, Me'odomra, from a bad person, Me'chavera, from a bad friend, U'Mishochenra, from a bad neighbor, U'Mipegara, and a bad encounter. Betatzileni Hayom Uvchol U'Misatana Mashchit, and from the Satan that's destructive. Midin kashe, umibal din kashe, ben shu ven berit, ven sheino ven berit. So no, then it's another vihi ratzon. Just saying, let's look in the sitter. I'm forgetting. Oh no, it's a vihi ratzon. Okay, yeah. There. We say, vihi ratzon, after the blessing of Mavir Pen Shenim Einai. May it be the will of you, Hashem, our God and the God of our fathers. Make us accustomed to your Torah. And have us cling to your mitzvos. Don't bring us not to something that brings us to sin. And not to something that lidei is something that brings one to something that will bring me to sin. And not to something that will bring me to test. We pray every day we shouldn't be brought to test. And we mentioned many times the Gemara that says that David HaMelech said to Hashem, said, God, I'm serving you as best as I can, and you've acknowledged that I'm a tzaddik, and the level that I'm serving you on, why is it that the forefathers are mentioned in the blessing, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzchak, Elokei Yaakov, and I'm not mentioned in the blessing? Why is it that I haven't attained the level that the Jewish people will recognize that you're also known as the God of David? And God said to David, you weren't tested. They all stood up to their tests. We know that Avram was tested, but you should know that Yitzchak was tested as well, and Yaakov was tested more than Avram and Yitzchak. Yaakov was tested even more, as we will discuss later tonight when we discuss our parasha, Parashas Vayishlach. So God told David they were tested and you weren't. And David said, God, please test me. We have that recorded in Tehillim. In one of his songs, he said, God, please test me. And God said, okay, I'm going to make it even easier for you, because I'm going to tell you what I'm going to test you on, and you're still not going to stand up to the test. And God told him, I'm going to test you in arayos, in marital relations, and you're not going to stand up to the test. And then the Gemara goes through the whole story, the test. Now David did not stand up to the test, which we will discuss when we learn that parsha. We have it on the web, the whole discussion of how to understand what went on there. And tonight, we can't go into that unless you guys want to. Then that's a separate question. We'll deal with that. So we derive from that, that if David HaMelech, on such a high level, regretted asking for a test and did not stand up to the test when he was placed before the test, certainly no one else should ask for a test. And the rule in Judaism is always, avoid tests. A person should not be looking to be tested, because no one knows if we'll stand up to the test. We said, the Mishnah says, Al tadin chavachat shetegel in kumo. Don't judge your friend till you're in his place. Why? Because maybe in his place you'd be doing the same thing. You can't know how you would be unless you're in his shoes. So a person always has to do his best not to enter a situation of a test. A person has to do anything he can to avoid a test. So we learned last week, not last week, but we learned the pasuk in Mishlei. The pasuk says, "Pira'ehu al ta'avor bo, stay me'alav avor." When you see a group of people that are doing something improper, and you say, "Maybe I'll go through them, nothing will happen, I won't be affected." So we say, "No, cross the street, go the other way. Don't go through them. Don't assume that you could go through and you won't be affected, you won't learn from them." A person always has to avoid tests. A person can't assume I'm going to be okay. We say, at all costs, a person should try and avoid being tested. And anything a person can do to minimize a test or cause himself to avoid a test, a person should do. Specifically in this area, we have a tradition in Apotropos L'Arayot that no one could say, I'm being watched, I'm okay, nothing bad will happen. The rule is, you can't trust anyone, not even yourself. No one should trust themselves. Our sages said, don't trust me. Our sages wouldn't allow themselves to be trusted, even in these matters. They always, when they had a test, then they lived up to the test. But they did their best not to be tested. We see that in many halachos. But the basic rule is, do your best not to enter a test. So if by wearing a ring, a person will ensure that he's not offered certain things, a person shouldn't assume that every time he's offered, he's going to say no. I'll give you a small example. How many people know it's improper to look at certain things on the internet? And how many people do? So every person, if you'd ask him beforehand, he'll say, I know it's not right. I know I shouldn't do it. And yet, when it comes up, so it's not always easy to close it. But at the same token, a person never knows where he's going to be holding, and a person never knows where his relationship with his wife is going to be holding. And even if everything's hunky-dory, a person can never rely on himself. So a person should do the maximum to avoid tests. We know traditionally, people always fell on this point. We've mentioned it many times. In every stage in history, you see people falling for women. So why should a person test himself?
Well, sorry, and then that being said, I agree completely. So why doesn't a man wear a ring?
Well, most men don't need it. Most men, it will make no difference.
Absolutely.
No, because where do I go that wearing a ring is going to make any difference, for example? In the street, I don't think it's relevant.
The park in Manhattan?
I don't think that in these scenarios the ring is what would have made the difference. I don't think it would make, if you think about it, when you check into a hotel room, when you're away from home on a business trip, so people look at you, they see a man all alone, they think to do certain things. But when you're living your day-to-day life, when was the last time something like this happened to someone? I don't know. You say it happens often, I don't know. So then speak to your rabbi. If you think that you're in a scenario where that's legitimate, so speak to your rabbi. That's already an individual question. Here in Israel, I think that if people enter certain chat rooms, if people enter certain places on the internet, then they might be approached, and then the ring isn't what's going to make the difference. But if a person is living his life and going to proper places, doing proper things, I don't think it's so common. It's more common in certain hotels and things like that. When you're traveling, that's usually where I think it's more common. But maybe, you know what? I don't know much beyond Jerusalem, New York, Chicago. Maybe where you guys live, it's different. And maybe I don't know enough about what's going on in New York. Ask your rabbi. Yeah, on this point or something else?
Sounds right.
Yeah? Just like 1 second. Jeff.